September the 11th, 2001, is one of those dates indelibly stamped in the memory and psyche of all Americans who are old enough to remember that fateful day a decade ago. Just as when President Kennedy was shot at Dallas, everyone remembers what he or she was doing when the attacks occurred. 9/11 is often described as the day the world changed. But how did it change us as individuals and our view of others? And what are some of its most lasting and perhaps most disturbing legacies? Father James Martin is a Jesuit priest and prize-winning author who's the culture editor for America magazine. He published a book entitled Searching for God in Ground Zero that described his experience of ministering to firemen and rescue workers at the site of the collapsed Twin Towers in New York City in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. Father James began by sharing with me his personal recollections of how the events unfolded after two hijacked planes flew into the towers on that sunny September morning 10 years ago.
Well, I first got a call from my mother in Philadelphia who told me that the World Trade Center had been hit by a plane, and I didn't believe her, or I thought, why is she calling me? She knows I, you know, don't work anywhere near there. I'm uptown, not downtown. When I turned on the TV set, I was horrified, like everybody else, and then quickly rushed outside and could see down 6th Avenue. Our building is right on 6th Avenue. The towers aflame, and could see the black smoke pouring out of the tops of the towers. It was horrifying.
And what was the reaction of people around you at that particular moment?
Absolute shock. You know, there had been in the 1930s or 1940s an airplane that had crashed into the Empire State Building, and that, you know, people have seen pictures of that, but nothing of this scale had ever happened. And of course, everyone was worried that it was the first volley of a war. I think many people grasping for an image were thinking of Pearl Harbor and wondered if this was the beginning of an all-out assault on American soil.
And then I gather you went to a doctor's appointment that day, and then after you got back, you were told by somebody in your office that one of the Twin Towers had collapsed. Wasn't that right?
Yes, I had a doctor's appointment, and like many New Yorkers, wasn't really clear on the extent of the damage, and so I went about my business, and by the time I came back, as you say, our receptionist said that one of the towers had collapsed, and I actually got angry with her, and I said, you know, why are you listening to that stuff? That's ridiculous. And turned on the television and was shocked. I could not believe it. I could not believe that something so massive had just disintegrated. It was a nightmare.
Okay, so you went to try to minister for survivors, didn't you? Tell us a little bit about that. But of course, there weren't many survivors, as we know.
Well, that night I walked over to a local hospital hoping to help out. I walked in with my collar on and was told to go further downtown to a place called Chelsea Piers, a kind of converted sports arena, where they were waiting for the survivors. And at that point, as you said, there were lots of survivors expected, and no one came. And so it was a very grim and sad and quiet night. It was also very quiet in the city. There were no cars or trucks, as I recall. I walked through the empty streets that night to this place called Chelsea Piers.
2 days later, you ended up going to the Ground Zero site to minister to firefighters, police officers, and the other rescue personnel working there. You, in fact, even wrote a book about your experience there. Can you describe it for us? I mean, the site must have been hellish.
Hellish is a good word. I think that the only thing that I could compare it to were movies and films that I had seen of bombed out cities in Europe during World War II. I got into a police car in a relatively unscathed part of town, Midtown, and within a few minutes, maybe, we started driving through parts of town that were covered with ash. There were big pieces of debris and paper all over the ground, and when we pulled up to the site, it was basically a disaster area covered with ash, still smoking, the huge remains of the World Trade Center still sticking straight out of the ground, and hundreds of people in uniforms milling about. It was chaos and bedlam. And at the same time, I was aware that I was standing in front of a huge mass grave. So the rapidity with which I went from a relatively normal New York neighborhood to hell really made my head spin.
But tell us a little bit about the rescue staff that were working there. You said that although it was hell, you found grace there.
I would say it was one of the most profound experiences of the Holy Spirit that I've ever had. And that may sound odd coming from someone who's talking about Ground Zero, but for me it was the Christian mystery of the resurrection. When I was there ministering to firefighters, rescue workers, police officers, all I encountered was this great sense of charity and helpfulness and unity and compassion. Everyone wanted to know how I was doing. Everyone was other-directed. Everyone was pouring themselves out for their fellow human being. And of course, their sacrifices were all informed by the great sacrifice that happened just a few days before when the firefighters rushed into the burning building. So there we were standing in front of this great sign, in a sense, of other people's love for one another, the firefighters who had rushed into the burning buildings, as well as people's great hatred for one another, the people that piloted the aircraft. It was a strange kind of Christian paradox.
Okay, looking beyond your memories of that day, broadening our perspective, how do you think 9/11 has changed people as individuals and their perception of each other, particularly in the States, obviously?
Well, there are kind of concentric circles. Certainly for people who lost loved ones or friends in the disaster, it remains a very sort of visceral wound, a very tragic day. No New Yorker was untouched, who was in the city. Just living there, I think, was a very traumatic thing to go through. And then Americans, more broadly, I think, were affected, I would say, politically because of what came afterwards. One of the things that I lament is that in the days and weeks immediately following 9/11, there was this tremendous sense of national unity, and I think that was dissipated very quickly once the war began in Iraq. So what was this great sense of national purpose and unity and charity and a desire to help one another really disintegrated into, I would say, more political dissent.
So do you think that in a way the United States squandered that enormous goodwill that there was all around the world, or at any rate allowed the event to sharpen polarizations between opposing political forces?
Well, yes, I think they squandered two things. They squandered this great sense of national unity that sprang up after 9/11. That dissipated pretty quickly. And then once we invaded Iraq, there was an enormous dissipation of support for the United States. You remember, in the days after 9/11, you had all these government leaders saying, we're all Americans now, we're all on your side, and that left pretty quickly as well. So I think that any unity that we felt after 9/11 has really been squandered, and it's a shame because the first response of Americans was charity. And I think that those days were days of real grace for us, for Americans, and I think they left pretty quickly, unfortunately.
What, in your view, are the real lessons that should be learnt from 9/11?
That's a good question. Well, I'd like to look at it from a spiritual point of view, since I'm, not a politician or a political scientist. My experience at Ground Zero taught me that in times of great tragedy, there's always hope and there's always new life. One of the most amazing things that I saw down there was, in the midst of this hell, this incredible sense of grace. I'd never been in a place where everyone was other-directed. I'd never really been in a community that had pulled together so much. So even in these times of tragedy, there was a sense of new life. And I kept thinking of the resurrection and, this place, this sort of American Calvary, where we experience this great new life. And I also think at that time, God was offering us a kind of parable. When Jesus wanted to explain something complicated like the kingdom of God, he used simple stories drawn from everyday life and nature. And in a way, God was giving us a parable of his love in the story of the firefighters. So you could say, how much does God love us? God loves us as much as the firefighter that rushes into the burning building. So in a way, God was showing us his love that day in a very strange way because, it came at a time of great tragedy. So it was a very difficult day and time. That's kind of an understatement. But by the same time, I feel that there are a lot of spiritual lessons to be learned if we reflect on it from a Christian point of view.
Okay, if we look at it more from a political or military point of view, of course, it led fairly quickly to the war in Afghanistan, for instance, which is still going on. I mean, do you feel that this is one of its most lasting legacies, that 9/11 did lead to this?
I would say that's one of the lasting impacts. I would say that the war in Iraq was probably even more destructive. You could make a case for the war in Afghanistan because it was harboring Osama bin Laden, but it's harder to make a case, and even Pope John Paul was against the war in Iraq, which caused countless deaths and cost the American public trillions of dollars. So both of those wars together, I think, really took an opportunity of great concord and unity between the United States and other countries and within the United States and squandered them, I think. I mean, I'm all for appropriate defense, but I think, you know, going into Iraq, for example, that had nothing to do with 9/11, made no sense. And I thought that was a disastrous move with long-lasting consequences, both politically and also economically for the United States.
Okay, looking at it more from the point of view of an individual, do you think as individuals we've tended to lose our trust in each other? We tend to be more wary now of, particularly of, should we say, the Muslim community. Did it help to drive a wedge, or at least appear to drive a wedge between the Muslim world and the Christian world?
Well, on the one hand, you could make a case that it actually encouraged people to learn more about Islam. The number of books that came out and magazine articles that came out about Islam, the number of Muslim commentators that were on television and radio, I think helped to educate people. But by the same token, I really do think that it just added to that terrible stereotype of the Islamic revolutionary or the Islamic terrorist. And I think that's really unfortunate. I think you speak to a lot of Americans, and that stereotype is unfortunately uppermost in their minds, very hard to eradicate. And I think that's, you know, of devastating consequences for the average American Muslim and frankly for Muslims across the world. So I think that was a very sad and unfortunate after effect of 9/11.
Okay, given that it's the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and this perhaps is one of the most disturbing thoughts of all, do you think or do you fear there could ever be another attack against the U.S. on the scale of the 9/11 attacks in 2001?
Sadly, I do. From all the articles I read, experts say that it's almost impossible to prevent a terrorist attack from someone who's sufficiently well-organized and sneaky enough and has the money. Certainly the security has been amped up since 9/11. I was just in Israel a few weeks ago, and on both sides, Israel and the United States, there were tremendous security procedures. But there's all sorts of ways of having an attack. But the difficulty, I think, for Americans is striking that balance between security and freely going about your day. But I think that's a task for pretty much everyone in the world today. It's a very sad commentary on what 9/11 has done, but it has made us both more suspicious and more jittery.
I was speaking to Father James Martin, Jesuit priest and author who works for America magazine.